We thank our brother, Mr. McKee, for his kind words of welcome. It's good to be in our home congregation this evening. Well, this morning, getting days and times mixed up. This morning, it's good to be here with you. And I do thank the people of God for their messages of support. And they've sent me numerous text messages over the last few days and phone calls saying they're praying for me. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate also the kindness that the congregation has given to us as a family and their support throughout this last number of years in the college. And do continue to pray for us in the next few years as we begin Hebrew. Pray much for us. David was here last week, and I'm sure David is through the Hebrew, his third year and first year of Hebrew, and he's enjoyed it immensely. And he's given us a few pointers on the way as well. And do pray for us. Pray much. We need your prayers, and we appreciate your prayers and your continued kindness and your support. And it is appreciated. When you come back to your own congregation, you get the nice smiling faces and those encouragement that is given as well. We're going to turn to our Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to read through the first 12 verses of this chapter. And I'll just concentrate on a few of them off this chapter. We're going to read through the first 12 verses. Jeremiah chapter 18. Reading from the verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it. And if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil ways, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, I think these next few words are hallowing words. It says there is no hope. Praise God, there is hope. It says there is no hope. We will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. May the Lord will bless in the reading of his precious word. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer before God, seeking his face as we continue in the rest of this morning service. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we do count it a privilege we can come before thee this morning in this meeting. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come before thee, and we thank thee for the open door that is before us, that we can come in to praise thy name, and we can seek thy face. We can hear thy word. Father, we do pray as we would take upon the rest of this meeting that thou would help us as we bring forth thy word. Lord, the words may stumble. The words may go over as mumblings, but Lord, we pray that thou would make them sweet. Lord, undertake and speak to our hearts. May there be, O Lord, a listening ear in this congregation, that, Lord, that men and women, having been here, would be blessed, having met with God. Will undertake with us, Lord, and stand with us and strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about this chapter in Jeremiah chapter 18, I was also reading a book of one of a missionary of many years gone by. You all know it well. I think it's been a number of times it's been mentioned in children's meetings. It is a woman called Mary Slessor. She was a woman who, in her own self, was nothing special, was nothing great. Just like you and I. And I say that for I, because that's me as well. But she went and she got a Bible. She learned what the Word of God had to say. And God called her. And she desired to do a work of God for him. And when he called her, she went out to the places of Africa and she served the Lord. And she may have been a nobody at home. She may have been nobody in Scotland. She may have just been any other person that has gathered together amongst other people. Yet to those people in Africa, she was a mighty giant for God. Because she'd done a great work in their lives. She had a work of faith within her life. She believed in Christ. And she served Christ in all that she had. If you read that book yourself, you'll find it is a book of faith. A book of courage. A book where you see God working upon a life. And likewise, we also should, as Christian people, want to abide in having our course changed by God. Not just living as we think we should live, as we should go on our own way. But by the grace of God, we fulfill our calling that God has for our lives. This morning, I want each and every one of us to cast aside our own interests. Just like Mary Celestine had cast her own interest to one side. And she fully trusted in the Lord. If we look at Jeremiah chapter 18, you'll find that Jeremiah was a man of God. Jeremiah was a man. The people didn't have a close relationship with God, but Jeremiah did. People weren't, I'm sure, some great encouragement to him. But even though in times of discouragement from the other people, we find that Jeremiah, he served God and he carried on. I want us to look this morning, as we look at these first six verses of this chapter, I want us to look at the marks of a child of God. The marks of a child of God. You say, well, I don't know who this chapter is about, by the way. Just before we get any further, I think you should look at the verse 1 and verse 6. It's very easy to identify who this chapter is about. Who's speaking of? It says, and the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. So it's the Lord. We find also in verse 6 it says, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. So we find immediately that this is a message from the Lord. The clay here in this passage is Israel. The application of this passage is to you and I, individually and personally. You are the clay. God is the potter. But if we're to walk before God, I believe we should do as a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 says. I'll read it before you. It says, if a man therefore purge himself from thee, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. I want us to look, as I said this morning, the marks of a child of God, but also want to encourage the people of God to get back to reading their Bibles, get back to studying the Word of God, get back into looking to see what God has to say about things. I remember whenever I was first asked to preach, it was actually in our women's meeting, and Margaret McGackie asked me beforehand, and she handed me a piece of paper, and these were actually the words that she handed me on. Isaiah chapter 18, verse and the 1, the 6. You get little encouragements from people, and I like getting encouragements. And those are little things that she has done, and little things all has done, and they show the marks and bear the marks of a child of God. But as we look here, I believe there's a number of marks that we can look at in this passage that we can see about a child of God. The first mark we'll see before us, a child of God wants to hear the word of God. A child of God wants to hear the word of God. Let's read verse 1 and 2. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause thee to hear my words. A true child of God that is gathered in this meeting, that is in the house of the Lord this morning, is one whom desires to listen to the word of God, whom desires to see the word of God opened, and wants to hear it being preached, desire to have it spoken, thereby proclaiming, listening to the message that is proclaimed. Jeremiah, the prophet here in this passage, he was known as the weeping prophet, we all know that. He was a man whom desired that the people would come back to God. He desired that he would see the people won for Christ Jesus. He didn't desire that God would give him a word and then hold it to himself. But he desired that when he received the message from God, he desired to proclaim it. He desired that the people would hear what he has. And we find that he comes before God. He comes before God for a little time. waiting for God's direction upon his life. I believe that's something that you and I should do in our closets. Spend a little time before God, that we would know what God would have for us to do. This passage here tells us that God desires you and I to have a close relationship with him. One like that missionary Mary Celeste had many years ago. One like Jeremiah had as we read in these scriptures. One like he desired that the people of God and people of Israel would have. We like them need to seek God's face. That we would know what it would be and what God would have for you to do and to know. These passages preceding it are a terrible picture. We find the children of Israel in chapter 16 and 17, they go through many failures. They go through many times where they have situations where they try to go upon their own strength. They have many failures, many disappointments, and on many occasions we find this weeping servant comes before God to hear what God has to say to him. He prays, seeking God's face for the people, that they be kept by God. And he urges the people to get their eyes fixed on God. Get their eyes fixed, took off what they think man has to say. They get their eyes off what a man is saying around, but they're getting their eyes fixed upon Christ. And that applies to you and I, that we should get our eyes fixed off other things. There's other things we get our eyes fixed on too often. But we need to get our eyes fixed on Christ and eternal things. He is our Redeemer, isn't he? We need to get our eyes fixed on him. For it isn't just the preacher that sees your lives. It is God that sees your life. And it is God that sees my life. And God sees, like he saw with the children of Israel, he sees that they start off well in their life. He sees that they started off well in their life towards him. But then we find that as they went on in their lives, that they began to distance themselves from hearing what God would have to say. They began to grow cold. You know what them people needed? They needed to hear a word from God. And that's what we need to hear from God. We need to hear a word from God. Sadly, we are not listening to the word of God anymore. We begin to grow cold. Our prayer life, our Bible reading becomes, our relationship before our Heavenly Father becomes non-existent. And if we be honest, we're growing cold. And if we're honest, we really need a word from God this morning. We need to know what God has to say. Therefore, this morning we have a word from God. It says in the very first word on the chapter, in the verse 2 of this chapter, 18, it says these words, arise. It says that we must arise. If you look up a dictionary, you'll find those words mean to get up. It means that you must get up or to come about. Or the other one, it says come into notice. Come into notice that God wanting to speak to you. It says you should arise. And that's the very first thing that each person in this congregation this morning done before they came to the Lord's house. They got up. They arose from their beds. They get up as they should do every morning. Some maybe later than others. Some like their lions other than other people do. But we have to get up. And the Bible says to us that we're going to hear a word from God this morning. We have to arise. We have to be ready to listen. We must arise up so that we are going to hear. How often it is that when we come to the Lord's house that we haven't prepared ourselves for here. Haven't prepared ourselves for a message from God. The Bible says that we must arise. We must come in to notice what God is going to say. And it says, brother and sister, when we arise, he says, then you must go down. We have come down to the Lord's house this morning. We have come down. And when God says, when you go down, he says, I will give you a word. Yes, others may hear this word. Others may hear what we have, what the message is going forth. But I have a word specifically for you. He says, so go down to the potter's house. And if you go down to the potter's house, he is commanding us to go. And then he says, I will cause you to hear my word. It's not just sitting at home when the Lord's house is going on in the mornings or evening services. But it's going down that you would hear God's word. That you would hear what God would have to say. The word here that God has is divine wisdom. That wisdom that resides in us. The word that is a message of God for the world, a message of God for our souls, a message about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a blessing it would be this morning if each one of us would gather together, receive the word from God, that we would be saturated by the presence of God amongst our very lives. We would be saturated in the word. We would be listening to the still, sweet voice of God, being in constant communion with Him. That's a mark of a child of God. Being in constant communion with God. And also in listening. God wants to prove us. He wants to prove us. He's saying, well, I want you to rise in the morning, verse 2. I want you to go down. And He says, if you go down, He says, I'm proving you here. It's not just that you rise. It's not just that you think about going down, but that you actually take part and go down. He says, and once I've proved you, He says, then you'll hear a word from the Lord. Then you will hear a word. A word for you. He says, when you go down, you'll hear His words. Believer that is gathered in the meeting this morning, as we listen to the words of God, as we read the Scriptures, I pray that God would show you His way in your life. Are you desiring this morning to go through with God? Are you desiring to go on with God? Going on with God like even the servant Moses did. We read in Exodus chapter 32 in our prayer meeting on Thursday evening. Exodus 33. And it talks at the end of those verses 12 to 13, 14. I'll not read them all, but I'll read verse 14 and 15. It said, and He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carryest not up hence. And Moses there seeks assurance. He goes down to the potter's house. He comes before God, and he seeks to hear a word from God. He desires that God would speak to him. And God tells him, I'll go with you. And God wants us to be like Moses there. He wants us to hear His word. He wants us to go down. Then He says, once we go down, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. So we need to obey His word. We need to obey the word of God. There's another mark. Or hear His word. Another mark is in the verse 3. The child of God not also should hear, but they also should obey God's word. It says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Another mark of the child of God is that we should have obedience to His word. Seeking God. Studying to show ourselves approved. That's not just for the preachers in Timothy. That's for all of us, studying to show ourselves approved. We're to study and we're to seek God's word. And we need to be like the psalmist. When the psalmist gives those words in chapter 25 of Psalm, verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And there it is to have obedience, waiting upon God. What we need to say to God this morning is not only, Lord, I want to hear. We raise our hand and say, God, teach me. Teach me what you would have me to do. Teach me thy word that I would understand what I'm reading. Teach me, Lord. For God's word is authority. And God's word commands us and compels us to do something for us. He waits on us. And here in verse 3, we notice that he says that he abides, that Jeremiah abides with the call of God. As it says, he went down to the potter's house. He didn't hold fast. He didn't step back. He didn't wait and see what happens. But it finds that verse 3 tells us that he went down to the potter's house. Jeremiah heard the call. He didn't just think, oh, well, that's okay. I hear the call, and sure, God will call me again some other time, and I'll wait and see if God calls me and sit back and relax. That wasn't enough for Jeremiah. That wasn't enough, and it shouldn't be enough for us. But he desired to be taught by God. He desired that God would teach him, and he sought to go down to the potter's house to see what God had planned out for him. Just like you and I should do today, we should seek that God would teach us, that we would learn something from God, that we would be directed by God and directed by God's ways. And then the Bible says that when he went down to the potter's house, it says that God wrought a work on him. And this word wrought is an interesting word if you look it up. It means that we should be shaped. Or it means that we should be hammered or beaten. Nobody likes to be hammered or beaten, do we? This word says that we should be shaped or hammered and beaten. I want you to remember that word and remember what it means, because we're going to come a little later to another part, and you're going to remember the word wrought. We may not mention it, but you'll remember it. And remember being battered and beaten as well. But remember that word wrought, being hammered and beaten. You know, sadly, in our Christian lives, God says that we should bear the mark to obey his word. But we often feel slack. We don't feel like going down to the potter's house, and sometimes we don't want to go to church, and we say, well, I'll not bother going today. We say, well, there's a prayer meeting on the Thursday night, and I'll just not bother going one Thursday night. I'll forget about going to that. Sure, there's other people going, and I'll let them attend that service. And we feel slack. But you know what? It's those times when we actually get up, we arise, and we listen what God has to say, and we go down to the potter's house. It's those times that we get the sweetest blessings. It's those times when you're truly blessed, when you've took the time to go to the prayer meeting, the time to go to the services in the Lord's house. You're not just residing in your home place and being as weak as in our own selves and forgetting and saying, well, not bother anymore. But you go down, you get the blessings of God. We get the blessings. We get the blessings which God is willing to give us. And then we'll have a true heart. May it be when we go down and we get those blessings, we say, well, it's good for us to have been there. For there we have met with the Lord. I'm challenging everyone, and that's me included in this meeting, that we should obey God. We should listen to the challenges of God. We should listen to what God has to say, that we'd be challenged, that we would be, as it were, perfected on this old earth. We would be perfected. I know, and I'm sure everyone else in this place knows, that there's nobody perfect. If you believe you're perfect in this meeting this morning, then you're telling lies. If you're telling your children you're perfect, you're telling lies as well. And because not one of us are perfect. There's only God, the God who sent his Son, who is the only perfect one. But God desires us in obedience to him. We be perfected as much as we possibly can be whilst we're upon this earth. But for us to get to that point, we must hear a word from God. We need to abide by that word, and we need to obey him. We need to obey him. I want to ask you this morning, are you proving God in your life? Are you proving that you bear the marks of being a child of God? Are you still reading his word? Are you still praying? Are you having a relationship with God? If not, then you're losing out with the blessings of God. And you must come back to him, seeking a word from him. I do thank God for this congregation. Thank God that we have open doors. That we're not closing anybody out from coming in to hear the word of God. And I thank God as well that when it says in the verse 3, we went down to hear, and we want to hear a word from God, that you know when you come to this congregation that it's not just going to hear some fairy story. You're going to hear a word from the living book, the word of God. You're going to hear what God has to say out of the book. But we need to seek God earnestly, that he would press upon us, that we would take a step for faith, going out for God, obeying him. I was just thinking there, and Shree and I had mentioned to different people last night, but Joel's in the meeting tonight, this morning, and Joel's, well, we were talking to him there the other day, and we had said about him maybe going to be the smallest in the house. I see Joel looking up to see me here now, so he is. And his words Joel said was, well, if I read my Bible and pray every day, I'll grow, won't I? He said, I'll read my Bible and pray every day. And then he'll grow. A little child knows that if you read your Bible, and if you pray every day, he says you're going to grow. Joel thinks that it's going to grow very tall. That could be the play, that could be the case, but it grows spiritually as well. And I do pray as a father that they would keep even those words, that they would grow up spiritually as he reads his Bible and prays every day, that he would grow. God desires us to obey him that we may grow. There's also another thing that we should bear as a child of God. A child of God should desire to know God's will. A child of God should desire to know God's will. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. Before us here we have a picture of the potter's house. We have a picture, we understand, and we can understand the words that God has for us in his life. Considering again the words of what the psalmist has to say, you know the words in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. And as we gather in the potter's house this morning, we get to see a picture. We get to see a painting. And we get, if we desire to seek God, then he'll open up before us. If we desire to know his will, he'll open up before us and show us what he has for us. If we abide in his command, if we desire to hear his will, if we desire to have his will known for us, then we will receive the blessings which he has for us and we require in our lives. There's one thing that we require in our lives when we desire, if you honestly desire to have God work in your life, then you're going to see a molding done. You're going to see a work done in your life. Other people are going to look at you and see your life changed. They're going to see a molding. For we read there in verse 4, it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he just left it the way it was and didn't bother fixing it in any way. No, that's not what the verse says. It says, so he made it again another vessel. And it seemed good for the potter to make it. Doesn't matter who you are in this meeting this morning, we're born in sin. Doesn't matter who you think you are in the meeting or who I think I am in the meeting, we're all born sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned. So we all have sinned. We're outside the will of God. We're, as it were, as the Apostle Paul called it, we're alienated before God. There is something in our lives that hinders us from service for God. Something that hinders us from coming to God. And that is sin, obviously. That is sin in our lives. And what does God say it is? Is that we're marred. We're marred. Even the believer is marred in the sight of God. We need something in our lives. We need God to do a work upon our lives that we would see the blessings of God working upon us. The Bible says we're marred. It says in verse 4, we're marred. Basically, we're not what God desires us to be. We're not what God desires us to be. But he says, even though that we were marred, when he made it again, it was good for the potter to make it. And God delights in molding us. God delights in our salvation. God delights in us being cleansed. God delights in us being made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And, you know, people gathered in the meeting, we should desire to know God's will. To consider, and knowing God's will, we should consider the potter's house. And when we look at the potter's house, we can think, we say, well, what is the potter actually making? What is the potter making? And we look at our own lives and we say, what is God making? A desire that God would work in my life, but what's God doing and what's God making? We don't know. Praise God. We can say God knows. The potter knows. And he has a plan. And he knows what he's doing. Just turn with me, by the way, to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, verse 2. It says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So we're not what God would want us to be. But God is making us into what He wants us. If we desire His will, then God's making us into what He would want us to be. When we know that when He comes, we shall be like Him. If you're a believer, you will be like Him. Now, God's will and God's ways, humanly to us, don't always seem to be the easiest. But we shall be like Him. Humanly, we think, well, oh, that way is too hard, but we look at the end of that way, we say it'll be worth it all. Doesn't seem easy, does it? But through trials and through testings, the Bible says that they work all things out. I like those words in Jeremiah, which says, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I will be with thee." Isaiah says here, he says, "Do not fear." Oh, trials, or no matter what it is that is before you. He says, you're not to be anxious in our lives, because the potter is working on your behalf. He is working on, and He is in control. He is patiently working all things out in our lives. Isn't that encouraging? God's working all things in our lives. And I remember, as I said earlier, remember looking at this passage, and I read a book on pottery. I don't know why I read a book on pottery. It's not something that interests me. There's maybe other people in this meeting that maybe know more of pottery than I do. But you know, if you're ever at it, there's different places you can go to and see the pottery being done. But if you look at someone or talk to someone who does a lot of pottery work, there's a lot of work goes on. It's a lot of work for them. If they desire to have this piece of clay into the place where they want it to be, then they have to work a lot on it. It has to be mixed with water, obviously. That's the first thing. And then there's a lot of work. There has to be a sifting process that goes through. It's said that the potter does is he begins to hammer it. We said the rod earlier on, we began to hammer it. Began to break it. And then it says, and he puts it into a sifting process where all the stones and everything is sifted through it. He puts it through basins. Some basins with big holes, some with smaller holes going through and through and through. So that all that process is being refined. See people nodding their heads, they must agree, they must know these things, and I don't. So I'm working in the right direction. But that's the process has to go through. And I said, once all that's done, you think going to put it onto the wheel and start working? No. It says he either gets it out and starts. Normally what happens is he gets it on the floor. Clean place the floor, obviously. He starts stamping on it. And banging his feet on it to remove all the other bits of bubbles and all the other things that are wrong and aren't right within that piece of that clay. It says once that all those bubbles are removed, once that process has been completed, then it says that the potter grabs the clay and he puts it upon the wheel. And then it says that he will mold it. He begins to mold it into a plan or a shape which the potter desires. And this morning, God desires, God is the potter, and He desires to shape you and I. If you'd only surrender your life and my life over to being what God desires us to be, then He will mold us. Born again believer, I urge you to desire to be all that God wants you to be. Desire to know God's will. Have God lead you. Have God guide your every footstep. It might not be the easiest process as we see the refining process goes through. There may be certain areas in our own lives that need fixed. And God may need to work in some areas more so than other areas that we have in our lives. But be aware that God is making a vessel fit for His service and His purpose. And my God knows best. I know that it'll be worth it all. Three red when we see Jesus. It says then, after all those things are happening, that's not the end. We're cast into the furnace. And then we're tried. And we're tested. There's one big thing that comes next. Especially in our own lives, pride. Pride then is eliminated. Once we're tried and we're cast into the furnace, we're tested, our pride's eliminated, and then we're made trophies of grace. We must look to God. We must desire to know His will. We'll be trophies of grace. There's another one. I'll go quickly. The fourth mark is the child of God delights to be in the hand of God. What a great place to be. Child of God delights to be in the hand of God. Look at verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand. O house of Israel. There is no place that is better for any child of God this morning than being in the hands of God. Remember that song my dad sang in one of his CDs a number of years ago? It said, sheltered in the arms of God. And that just doesn't mean that the arms of God are there and that's about it. But it means that you're totally clasped. It means that you're round about. I'm not asking you to do it now, but if you go home, grab your hands and put them tight, but try and pull them away. It's tight. But it's not just that, but God says, he says, I'm going to shelter you, but I'm going to clasp you in. You're going to be sheltered in the hands of God. What a place it is. What a place. For God has the power to hold each one of us. And he is able to mold us. And he is able to keep us. And in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our wrongdoings, in spite of the knowledge that God has of our many failings, just like the children of Israel in the scripture, we notice that God never fails us. And he says, verse 6, that he placed us in his hands. That great hymn writer, Fanny Crosby, he wrote many a great hymn. It's one that springs to mind, that one, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Do you ever think of that woman? Maybe somebody's heard the story of her before. But as I said, when she wrote those hymns, she talked about her blindness. And it said that whenever she was blind, it was a blunder on the behalf of the surgeon. Says it made her blind on that fateful day when she went before him. He says that the physician may have made a blunder that made her blind, but she says there's no mistaking God's part. You know what she further went on to say? This is a woman that knew God's hands around about her. She said it was not for her blindness. If it was not for the blindness that she had, she would never have written these songs. Because of her sight, she would have been distracted by the world. Because of her sight. And people this morning are distracted by the world. There's many distractions in this world. There's many things in this world that keep us from coming to the Lord's house. Many distractions that keep us from coming to our Bibles. Many distractions that keep us from coming to Christ. And looking to the Word of God to see what God has to say to us. And they pull us away. And there's many temptations and disguises that even are pulling our young people today. And our older people. But be encouraged that we're in God's hands. We're in God's hands. If you're a believer in this meeting this morning, you can rejoice. For verse 6 tells us that we're in the hands of God. Therefore, if you're in the hands of God, you must give yourself over to God, having Christ as a center of your lives and will. We're placed in his hands. The Bible says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You seek God, you're placed in his arms. Placed around about you a new desire. You delight to be in the hands of God. If you're a child of God, you will delight to be in the hands of God this morning. You know, and if we seek God, if we really listen to God, what God has to say to us, if we really obey God's words, desiring, delighting to follow after God, then through trials and testings, we will know that it will be worth it all. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We'll be encouraged in the work of God. Say, why should we delight? Because if we're in the arms of God, you know, we've yielded ourselves over to God. And we're not only just in the arms, but we're in the family of God. It says, for as many as received him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Be encouraged this morning. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Say, I've never known what it is to be in the arms of God. I do not know what it is to bear those marks of being a child of God. But this morning, I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is. But I realize this morning that I'm outside those marks of being a child of God. I don't bear those marks in my life at all. They're not evident. I don't know what they are, but I realize that I need them in my life. If that's so this morning, I pray that you would, having left this place today, you would know what it is to bear the marks of being a child of God. Not just because the man in the pulpit says so. Not just because our elders say so, or those that are saved say so. But you'll know so having met with God. You could live upon that life, looking to serve God, bearing those marks. There's men in Scripture who did not bear those marks. We think of the Apostle Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus. He scourged and he done many wrongdoings towards the Christian people. He put them in prison. He done wicked and vile things. You know what the Scriptures say in the book of Acts chapter 9 verse 15? It says he's a chosen vessel. God gave him a new name. Apostle Paul. He became a trophy of grace. And God can do the exact same as... You say, well, God can't save me. I'm so evil. I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a good person. I'm not a Christian. Paul wasn't a Christian either. If you're not a Christian, God can do the same for you this morning. And to the believer, once again, before I close, do you bear the marks of being a child of God? Do you bear the marks of being a child of God? Are you hearing God's sweet voice whispering to you? Are you obeying Him? Do you desire His leading upon your life? Do you delight in His way? I trust that is so. If you know what we are, we're not finished yet. We're a work in progress. God's working, so let's seek God. That you and I would be led by Him. We'd be a part of His sovereign plans. Amen.